The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Dr. Homebrew. We have an exciting show for you today. We have a Dark Mild. So this might be my favorite show that I've ever done, since the last time we had a Dark Mild on.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
We like variety.
That's true. And then we're going to do a commercial calibration of the pinnacle, the apex predator of Saisons, the Saison Dupont.
What?
Yeah.
It's commercial calibrations time. Here we go.
That's right, baby. We got a bottle.
Celebrating ourselves to the world of Saisons.
So everyone, right. Stop your pod right now. Go out to the store, get yourself a Saison Dupont. Pour yourself a glass of that and restart your pod in time for the Saison Dupont tasting with us, Brian.
That's
and
right.
Brian.
Do
restart
that.
Your pod.
Mm.
As if anybody has iPods anymore.
I do. It's plugged into my car this very second.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. You don't just stream your music? Wow.
Do you run it into some kind of future barbarian?
Wow.
No, I put it on a hard disk, on a little thing with a disc that I spin and click on stuff.
You don't plug in the cassette thing that goes into your cassette deck and plays it that way?
Listen only to on Grandpa Sundays. Over here, dude.
Only on Sunday. Back in my day. Well, actually, I use an 8-track to play the pod somehow. Don't ask me how I do that. I'm not entirely sure how that works.
Well, hey, man. Someday you'll figure it out, man, and then you won't have to listen to your 8-track. What do you think of that?
No, I'm never getting rid of that 8-track, dude. I got my BG's Greatest Hits double-length 8-track that's white and not the traditional black plastic. That's good shit right there.
Well, there you go. All right, before we get to Mike, I want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. Of course, you go to 5starchemicals.com, learn how to make the best beer you possibly can by learning how to clean and sanitize your equipment properly. A lot of people will tell you that you don't need Five Star, you don't need multiple cleaning and sanitizing stuff,
you don't need pants.
Just do it all at once. You can do it all with one thing. You don't need pants.
You never need pants.
But you can't do that properly. That is not how people make good beer. As homebrewers, we're so obsessed about what the professionals do. No professional does everything in one step. They just don't do it. Even though they have better chemicals because they have licenses and stuff for it. They just don't do it. So take it from us. Take it from Five Star. Pick up some Five Star chemicals and check it out.
Those professionals also have like professional PPE, so they keep from splashing that shit all over their faces and making themselves like the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I got
the Caustic.
People give me Skype names.
Caustic,
yeah.
Anybody
this.
That wants to use Caustic needs to have their head examined. I don't want to ever get anywhere near that stuff.
No thanks. Yeah.
I want to be able to have my vision and my boyish good looks.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that, dude. That's not okay with me.
No.
Yeah.
That's not okay with me. Trying to find, I don't understand why people. There we go.
Oh, while you're doing that, Brian and I will engage in playful banter in a radio style.
There we go.
How are you, Brian?
Well, if I had caustic in my brewery, I'd probably just keep it in an isolated area where no one ever goes in, and just like slide things in there, and then the caustic attacks it.
yourself included, like you would never go in where the caustic is?
No.
That's only good sense.
I wouldn't go in there.
Who wants to get next to caustic? That's fucked up.
Well, I think who wants to get next to caustic is Mike. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Mike.
Doing
not
great.
Too bad. Not too bad. We're about to drink your dark mild, which I appreciate that you are making this style. Nobody else really seems to care about it.
And we appreciate you hand delivering it here to the Hop Grenade in Concord.
That's also correct.
Yeah, no worries.
Local boy. But you're traveling now? You're running around somewhere?
I am. I'm down in Long Beach for some training. I wish I could be there with you guys.
Oh, man. Next time.
It's a great city.
Yeah, that'll be cool, man. Is this a style you're familiar with? Have you done one before?
You know what? It's not. It's the second time I've brewed it, but it is not a style that I'm familiar with. I've never had a true British example of it either. Yeah. So I just wanted to brew something that you can't really find here, you know? It's kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
Those are some of the fun beers.
Well, I appreciate it. Brian Cooper, you want to start first, or do you want to have Brian Shard do it?
We're going to crack a fresh sample of this, and we're gonna pour it for you, so you can taste it along with us here, JP.
Love it.
So while Brian's doing that, I actually have a question. This. I understand that you are a local homebrew club member.
I am. I'm a member of Club Doze.
Nice. Good shout
Club
out.
Doze, represent.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so this dark mild, getting into the aroma. First, the bottle had a nice hiss when it opened. It's generally a low-carbonated beer, but... doesn't hurt to have a little, it can't be flat either. So aroma-wise, it's got a pleasant low malt aroma that comes across with kind of a light toffee-like character and lightly caramelly aroma in there as well. Very clean ale ferment here. There's just no defects, no diacetyl, no DMS, acetaldehyde, anything. It's just clean and smooth smelling. There's a light spicy floral hop in there, nothing poking out too hard, but just a little balance, a little counterpoint there, but not heavy at all. It's a very malt focused beer, as it should be. Appearance wise, just a beautiful beer, really. It's a kind of pretty deep copper color with a fairly persistent low whitish head of fine bubbles. Beautifully clear with orangey highlights glowing through, and 3 points, full points for appearance. It's a beautiful beer. Flavor wise, I'm getting, malts right up front, and these things should come across as malty, even though they're light beers. Starting in the 10-30s range usually. If it doesn't have that malt there, it's not gonna score well. So it's leaning towards again the toffee, and even a little biscuit like kind of notes in there. Some low caramel and some light fruitiness in there as well, but it's not a fruit bomb at all. There's not a whole lot of esters going on. To me, it finishes semi-sweet. Faint floral hop is out of the way. Again, balance of the malt. Low bitterness, that's out of the way. No diacetyl, no DMS. It's just a nice, clean, there's the malt. Comes off the tongue, stays with a little sweetness, lingers nicely, and that's a pleasant, some pleasant flavors going on. Not as complex as some dark milds possibly, but some of them can lean towards the chocolatey, nutty, even a little roast, some grainy. There's a little graininess, a little toasted malt in here too, so it's not just boring at all. It's complex enough that I really like the way it's balancing itself. So mouthfeel wise, pretty much just right, medium light body. Despite the light gravity starting, it feels kind of medium. It's like, hey, this is a full enough beer. It's good. Low carbonation, medium low carbonation, I guess you could say. It's rising up a little bit. You can raise the head up as you swirl it a little bit, so there's enough carbonation in there. Some of the traditional versions might have a little less, but I don't mind it here. It's really not getting prickly at all. It's not pushing too harsh of flavors or anything at all there. So no warmth going on, as you wouldn't expect any of that. It's just creamy and smooth, and I spelled smooth with four O's.
Damn, boy.
On my score sheet.
Oh.
That's fucking smooth.
You must have meant that.
Damn, that's smooth. No astringency, just nice clean beer, stays on the tongue, lingers nicely. And almost velvety. It's really a nice mouthfeel. Overall impression, it's a very clean and pleasant drinking dark mild. I would say it's toward the lighter N for the range of style interpretations that can be allowed. But it's full enough. You know, I was really impressed with the fullness of the body, especially, you know, not full body, but like just hitting that medium point without it feeling like watery at all. Works nicely for such a light beer. Could benefit from maybe a touch more variety in the malt flavors. If you want to go a bit darker, you could put a little, you know, pale chocolatiness in there or something fun, a little nuttiness. You can play around with it. But from where you're sitting right here, it's a good vantage point. And I like what I taste. It is a 40-point beer, in my points. Excellent, excellent dark mild.
Wow. Nice.
Awesome.
Look at that. All right, Brian Char. Right, it's your turn, buddy.
Yeah, so Mike, thanks for sending us this beer or bringing this beer over. This was really amazing. And what's interesting is you talk about how it's hard to find in the U.S. I went to London a couple years ago on vacation, and before the start of the haze craze in the U.S., and all the craft brewers in London wanted to make West Coast IPA and West Coast Double IPA. And they were making great examples of that. They were using the same hops that we would use, importing American hops, whatever, but... God, from a standpoint of going to do some touristing and trying to do a little beer touristing in the UK, it was hard to find some of these traditional English styles, right? Not impossible,
yeah.
But I probably had like one dark mild the whole 3 weeks I was there.
That sucks. That would piss me off.
Yeah. You want to hit the deep corners of those pubs. They have to pass by all the icy cold Budweiser taps, right?
I know. You can't go to like some place that's pub. You got to go to a place down the alley with, you know, the three broomsticks or some shit back there. Yeah, exactly. And even then, it was hard to find something like a dark mild. But this was really an amazing beer. Aroma, I don't really I'll kind of hit the high points here. I don't really dispute anything that Brian had said. Aroma is 10 out of 12, you know, medium low, dark malt, low caramel, no hops, low fruity esters from British yeast fermentation, no off aromas, really inviting aroma. Appearance 3 out of 3, and nothing to add to what Brian already said. Flavor, it's really an amazing flavor. Malt is low, nutty, sweet, caramel, definitely some caramel there. Get some woody hop flavor in a northern brewer / classic.
Oh yeah,
British. British hops tend to be either, I don't know, in my experience, earthy, woody, or weirdly cheesy.
Yeah,
and if I don't tend to care for the weirdly cheesy, you know, pilgrim types, but more of the classic English hops tend to be woody or earthy, and that goes so well with the nutty caramel malt flavor here. Low hop bitterness in the mid palate to balance. It's really well attenuated. Balances to malt, but there's definitely some hop bitterness there to balance some. Finish is medium in length and malt focused. Gave this 16 out of 20. Mouthfeel, low body, low carbonation, no warming. Yet still creamy with no astringency. 5 out of 5. Overall impression, 9 out of 10. Really an excellent example out of style. The malt sweetness, there is malt sweetness there without being cloying or overbearing, and it really provides the illusion of a bigger beer than this is. And that's kind of the trick with dark mild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you guys say, this is a low alcohol, you know, not much to it beer, but there's a lot of flavor that should go on in a dark mild.
Oh, for sure.
And part of it is just that skillful use of choosing your malts, and choosing your hops, and having that fermentation. And it has to be that also the tough part is it has to be well attenuated while being still flavorful and give you the illusion there's more there than actually is. And that's a really tough thing to pull off. And you did that really well. Brian will tell you he was finishing up his score sheet, and I was standing here in the studio, was pacing the studio, thinking about this beer. Should I score this higher? Is there anything wrong? I should definitely. And I went back and changed my score several times because there's no reason for it to be what my original score was. I wasn't really being fair to it. So overall, I give this a 43 out of 50.
Wow.
This is really a tremendous achievement. Seriously, but why are you laughing at this? This is a really tremendous achievement.
I think it's a funny way to phrase it. That's all.
It's a tough line to balance that, with such a light beer and make it feel So substantial and full enough that it's not yeah. watery.
Yeah, for sure. And frankly, as I'm talking about this, I'm finding myself still wondering if this should be 45, 46. I mean, this would be, I think, do really well in competition. There's people talk about big beer bias in competition, and that's definitely there. But at least in the Bay Area, I think. When I judge competitions, people try really hard to avoid big beer bias. Mm-hmm. And something like this that's a really flavorful, lower alcohol beer, I think would get a lot of attention from judges and have serious potential at winning a best of show.
Yeah, a good judge is going to know how hard it is to build this and craft this. So, yeah, right. Well done. Thank you.
Definitely well done.
Can we have your recipe and clone it in our garages?
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate the feedback. Unfortunately, this is one of those beers that got caught up in the FedEx fiasco for the finals. So I was in Hawaii and didn't get a chance to ship spare bottles out, which I had ready to go. So that's I'm super happy to hear the results, but it'll definitely be getting tweaked and brewed again for next year.
Yeah,
but
yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah,
holding up nicely too.
Yeah, actually, I was really concerned with that about the it for such a small beer, oxidation can creep in fairly quickly, really especially with caramel malts and such. And so that beer is about 11 or 12 weeks old now.
Us all about your packaging, I hope, because it was whatever you did was really good.
Blickman Beer Gun, shout out to those guys.
So, nice. Oxidation.
Awesome.
So as far as the recipe is concerned, it's basically Jamil's recipe from Brewing Classic Styles. I did make a couple of changes. So base malt is 3 pounds, 8 ounces Maris Otter, pounds, 8 ounces Golden Promise, 8 ounces British Crystal 5060, 6 ounces British Crystal 120, 4 ounces Pale Chocolate, British Pale Chocolate, 2 ounces of British Black Malt. Let's see here. Yeast was WP005, which is the British Ale. And then hop charge was a single addition at 60 minutes of East Kent Goldings of, 0.85 ounces.
Is that pellets or whole hop?
Pellets.
Yeah, and even as it's warming here, I'm drinking it fairly warm now. We were just kind of pouring out the last of these bottles because it's so fun to drink. It's not getting that weird, stale malty flavor as that's something's been sitting around the bottle for a while and just warming up too much.
Yeah, I think it really needs to be. I mean,
you don't want to drink
it served
too
a little warmer. Yeah, but when we first got, I got these bottles out of the cold box in the at the bar here, and immediately when I tried it, I was like, this tastes like maple syrup. And I wasn't a fan. But as it warms up, all of those other notes that you guys have been talking about are coming through, and it's a lot better than before. So it's kind of like a testament, especially with a beer this complex of those darker flavors. It has to be a little bit warmer than ice cold walk-in storage at 32 degrees or 40 degrees or whatever it is.
And now I'm getting some of that, the chocolate, the pale chocolate.
Yeah, and I got none of that when I first... Yeah.
And what's interesting, you mentioned that, Jason, is as you were talking about that, I just poured myself the last little bit of this bottle sitting over here on the table, which was about 15 degrees colder than what was in my glass before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly as good. Mm-hmm. It was good, but it was not as great as what had been sitting in my glass warmed up to about 15 degrees warmer.
Yeah, serving temp means a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
think it's very style dependent. And it can be, anyway, especially with something like this.
A well-run competition, too. They're careful about that, and they'll warm bottles up for their judges as needed or cool them down as it may need to be done, too. But, yeah.
And I strongly, and that's a good point, and I encourage listeners who are BJCP judges, who are judging competition, especially in a style like this. If you're doing Scottish, Irish, UK, some of those, if no one stewarding or no one on your table is saying this and you're getting ice cold beers out of the fridge to judge, I would urge you to ask your steward. It's not a big deal. Ask your steward, can you bring out the next two or three, set them on the table, let them warm up, or bring all the rest of them out and let them warm on the table maybe 5, 10, 15 degrees before you judge them. Now, Brian, what do you think about that? Yeah. I've done that in competition, and I've judged with people that have done that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, and a good competition organizer will have ice baths on hand and even warm baths in some cases, where a common problem is for beers to come out too cold. And frankly, when you judge them that way, if you as the judge don't ask the steward or the organizer or somebody if they can adjust for a proper temperature. I mean, lagers and stuff, yeah, you can drink those colder and judge those colder.
And you should.
But these kind of beers and barley wines and, you know, big stouts, you don't want to drink them ice cold. It's not going to work right. You're doing a disservice to the entrant.
And I'll back up a little bit, and I was a little bit flippant about that, and you should drink lager. You know, people, when you judge competitions, you're kind of... You're working with people who are at breweries or restaurants or something, and out of the kindness of their heart, they're volunteering to let you use their space, and that's really great. But sometimes the space they give you, and you kind of have to use what they give you, is a really cold fridge that is even too cold for lager judging.
Right. Right.
So you just kind of have to. This is partly why we. Maybe talking a little bit too much about the mechanics of judging, where flight order is so important, sometimes that first beer kind of gets sacrificed in a way for you to realize it's too cold. Mm-hmm. And a good judge will kind of maybe realize that and, you know, maybe X out or get a new score sheet and start from scratch when it warms up. But
keep the beer on the table and adjust as needed.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes that just is, that's different. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get back to Mike here, though, for a second. As much as I had to stop myself from asking you guys questions. So, you know, it is stuff
Sorry,
we
Mike.
Can talk about. Mike, what's your recipe, dude? Or did you do you want to do that?
Yeah, so, yeah, but actually coming back to that. So,
but what about the water? What did you do to
There we go.
Yeah, so coming back to that. So water, I use Bruin water. That's the brown balanced profile. I have really really hard water and very high sodium water where I'm at, so I've got to split it 50-50 RO.
Okay.
I just follow the Bruin water program. It's served me well over the years and been fairly consistent. But mash profile, so going back to the body, I mashed this pretty high. I was at 154, 155 to try and keep that body without having it had any adjuncts or anything to it. Like I've been reading most newer British breweries do if they're going to brew that type of beer. They did up until, you know, the 80s when it started fading out of popularity or whatever there. But I was fairly happy with the body. I think that's the big key to this beer, to not make it watery, is making sure it's got a nice body to it so you can really get a nice malt backbone.
For sure. Your water treatment, it's out of the way, but that's what lends the smoothness, I think, too, is like if you had a lot of minerals in here, it would just start getting harsh biting qualities to it and the mouthfeel, and just, you know, it wouldn't play nice with that hard water.
I complain all the time about people adjusting their water or over-adjusting. This is a good water adjustment, and this is what water adjustment ought to be. It should be, like Brian said, out of the way and complimentary.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's a good trick, yeah. Use a high mash temp to keep the body. Are you what's your sparge? Are you fly sparging or?
No, I recirculate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... That seems to work pretty well.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing great.
Yeah, brew more of this.
Do you have any questions for the guys, or you pretty much got everything you need?
Yeah, so I'm, excuse me, in terms of improving the recipe, you know, malt complexity, it's funny you guys touched on that, because the first version that I brewed, I used American Crystal 120, which I thought had kind of a more, candy-like caramel quality, which is pretty prevalent in the U.S. versions of Crystal malt, which honestly wasn't bad, but I want some of the comments and I got back from the first round was that it was lacking malt complexity, which is why, why I split the base malts and then went with, you know, 100% British malts throughout the grain bill.
Yeah.
It was definitely on the low end of the style with regards to color and gravity. It was a 1031, finished about 1010, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
So right at 3%.
Cool.
So would you recommend adding, you know, maybe a little bit more, roast malt or maybe dark chocolate, you know, to give it a little bit more, roastiness to it? Or
yeah. Sometimes, I don't know.
It's hard.
I don't really want a roasty edge in this beer. I like it the way it is, but you could push up the pale chocolate just a little bit more. I would go subtle. I wouldn't go heavy and change it too much because it's playing nicely the way it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly cool. What I was thinking, and I think that going the UK malts are the right way to go. And something as simple as, you said you had 4 ounces of pale chocolate, I recall.
And there was some dark caramel in there.
Yeah, and I might consider pumping up the pale chocolate maybe 2 ounces, which is still going to keep you in the original gravity. It's such a small amount. That's going to give you 50% more chocolate while still not giving you a lot more fermentables. I mean, what do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, pushing chocolate a little bit. But yeah, the crystal you used was a 50-60 or something in there?
Yeah, so okay. It was a 50-60, and then and it wasn't I want to say much. It was Baird's. Yeah. And then Crystal 120 as well.
And what was the Maris Otter, the base malt that you used?
It was 3 pounds, 8 ounces Maris Otter and 3 pounds, 8 ounces Golden Promise.
Whatever the store had. Okay. You don't know the maltster or?
Both of them, I believe, were Thomas Fawcett.
Okay, yeah.
He malted it on his own floor.
Right.
Yeah, I wish.
That way you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Fawcett, that's good stuff to work with, sure. Very good recipe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff, Mike.
Hey, sometimes the Jameel recipe is like, sometimes you get to competitions and everything tastes like a Jameel recipe. I think it was more like that 6 years ago or something when or right after the book came out, whenever that was. But, people do different interpretations of them and play off of that.
Yeah, once you change it, it's your recipe now.
Yeah.
It's not Jameel's recipe.
Well, once you brew it on your own system with your own water, I mean, it's your own recipe.
Right.
All right, Mike, anything else or we'll let you go?
No, I appreciate it, guys. Look forward to submitting some more beers here in the future. Yep. Appreciate the feedback.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Have fun down there.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Cheers.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a bummer to see people miss out on final round with FedEx.
Because of shipping, dude. Yeah, that sucks. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Saison DuPont for our commercial calibration tasting. This is Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, back to the examination.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. But the pop big bottles here, big bottles only in the studio.
Mm.
I mean, it's a small bottle, but, you know, it's a big bottle. So, commercial calibration, Saison DuPont.
Yeah, we got it's a 375 milliliter here at there the Hop Grenade, but they have it on deck here for you to taste, and it's a beer that's fairly easy to find.
It's fairly easy to find, places. Yeah. Any decent liquor store is going to have it. I feel like this is one of those imports that you're pretty much always going to find. If you have some craft beer, you're going to find Saison DuPont for sure.
Yeah,
it's a classic for sure.
Yeah. It's good stuff, too. God, I haven't had one in a while either, honestly.
I like to use it in our beer judging classes and things like that. We're just like, hey, taste this. You know, it's surprising how many people haven't had it. And when you taste it for the first time, it can be a real eye-opening beer. You know,
well, and I feel like especially in the last 5 years, where everything has been the new beer chase, nobody's drinking the older classic styles yeah. anymore because they're, oh, I've seen that around, but it's not the fresh, you know.
I want to taste what's new.
Yeah, dry hop with smegma hops or something like that. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's you know, here's a warm fermented lager. I can't wait to drink it. It's going to be so good. Let me stand in. They're too busy standing in line. The kids are busy standing in line. They're not busy researching the old beers that made this country great.
And you were calling me a grandpa for talking about my pod.
That's right.
There's a new smegma hop.
It's a new smegma hop, dude.
Do you remember like 10 years back when Saison was hot and they were like a year or two when they were like...
Is that a fermentation joke?
No, I mean, it should have been. I should have said, yes, that was a fermentation joke. Okay. But now that was a hot style like 10 years back.
Yeah.
And a lot of brewers made them, and I miss those days because Saison is so versatile. You can make so many different variants of Saison, and it's so flavorful and such a great, great style.
There's yeah,
some,
I do like
some
it.
Cool, I mean, people still twisting on it. There's some cool sour Saisons out there these days, and, you know, people are still having fun with it, but it's not... Yeah, again, it's something that could be overlooked, and you might miss out. Because here we go.
Boop. Nicely there done. Are, dude.
Sorry about the eye there, JP.
Yeah, it's all right. I got it. I got another one.
We should make a hazy Saison.
Now look at how fluffy that thing pours there.
It yeah, it's a big head, dude. Pour with vigor is what Charlie Bamforth says, and you did that in our 4-ounce taster glasses.
We're pouring it straight
down. We got 3 ounces of foam.
That's a heroic head.
Settle out.
Yeah, for sure. I like it when it peaks the glass, where like it comes over the glass lip, but it's just rocky, straight up. Head. Yeah,
you have that moment of oh my god.
Yeah, it smells great. All right, Brian. Well, since the other Brian's pouring, why don't you go ahead and just start us off with this commercial calibration?
Well, I can't get my mouth into it yet here, but I'm taking in the nose here. So the keys to this style is, I mean. Soft alcohol with high fruitiness and a nice light pepperiness to it. That's what you're going to get in the nose mostly. But there's complexities, below that can come out. The fruitiness can express as a citrus fruit like oranges or lemons. It's not a super hoppy beer, although the hops can come up to moderate. You can actually get a little spicy floral hop character alongside the peppery notes from the yeast. The phenolics are can sometimes be pretty pronounced. On this, it's actually pretty smooth phenolic wise. It's not bitingly harsh. It's just a little faint pepperiness and big fruity orangey kind of notes there. So. I don't know. It smells inviting to me. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, what's fascinating with a beer like this that has such a huge head is sometimes the aroma of the head is different than the aroma of the beer itself. And I get like a really... sometimes it amplifies the hops, frankly. This is not a real hop-forward beer, and I don't totally agree with you. This is like a citrus, lemony... lemon lime, not really an orange citrus, but I definitely get that aroma from it. I poured mine to not have quite so much head. I also, what's funny is this is clearly bottle fermented because looking at JP's, which is totally clear, I've got little floaties on mine because you're pouring it and setting it down 3 times, I get floaties. But that's
get a new bottle for you.
It gives it character.
Garçon!
We'd like one more bottle of the Saison Dupont. But yeah, it's kind of complex, really the complex. Like you were saying, the citrus and pepperiness, there's definitely some black pepper in this. Really, like the hallmarks of this style.
Yeah, and it is true that the hop compounds will go into the head more. So when you initially smell it, you might get a little more like of a burst, like, wow, that's pretty hoppy smelling. And then it settles down and the fruitiness emerges a little bit more and some of the other things underneath it, a little cakiness, kind of malty, bready, caramelly, sometimes even biscuity or even a little chocolatey sometimes, kind of depending, you know, you can have darker Saisons and lighter ones. This one is very light, so none of the darker stuff. It's not really caramelly at all, not super biscuity, but kind of cakey, light, bready, and you're getting some, it's pretty much a yeast dominated beer. It's the saison yeast expressing all the fruitiness and the pepperiness.
Everything.
The pepper phenol. Now, it's interesting. One reason I like the DuPont or the DuPont so much, I'm going to stop doing that because it's just probably really annoying to everyone, myself included. The DuPont has the pepper character without being overly phenolic. And to me, you get to like the Fantôme.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like, some people love it. It's a personal preference. I don't really care for the Fantôme.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
Because it tends to be way phenolic pepper. It goes beyond that. And probably how much you like Fantôme depends on where your bell curve for phenolic is for your own personal taste buds and smell receptors. But if you're less sensitive to phenol, probably love the Fantôme. If you're more sensitive to phenol, it's going to come across more plasticky. This, the DuPont, just is a perfect balance to me of that pepper's right where it needs to be to taste and smell like pepper and not like plastic or Band-Aids or smoke.
Sure.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of variety in the style, and it's, you know, it's a farmhouse ale from Belgium. Those guys, they're crazy. They'll do anything to their beer almost, you know? They've taken off the tighty-whities of the German brewing Reinheitsgebot.
Oh, Jesus, and they're taking off their underwear. They're going to do anything to their beer.
Whatever you want. They run free in the wilderness and collect yeasts from wherever. And I mean, you can even have a little sourness in these sometimes. This is not expressing a big sour character at all.
No, not at all.
It's not a sour.
Look how carbonated this is. I mean, maybe it's because I got a few floaties that have settled down, but there is just... the bubbles coming off the bottom of this glass are just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's one thing about saisons is that it needs to be highly carbonated, and a lot of the homebrew styles that we get our homebrew examples of the style aren't that. It's hard to do home. It's hard to do this level of carbonation well and have it translate into a bottle because most of us are using beer guns or just some hack method. And this is bottle conditioned with a cork and cage and stuff like that. So
thick bottle,
you can really do damage if you don't do it properly. And that's definitely part of it. Like that huge rocky head is faded, but that white lacy head is still on top. It's what about a quarter of an inch thick still?
Yeah.
And at least up to like 3.5 volumes of CO2. Push it up there, but
and that drives a lot of those phenols that you guys are talking about. A lot of those flavors is that carbonation, and I think even as the higher carbonation is carbonic acid a factor in this also? Like, is there a CO2 bite to it?
I think it accents the pepperiness
to crisp up some of the stuff. Yeah,
although when you get into the flavor, it smooths out a little bit. But a first appearance, there's paler versions and there's more amber colored versions and darker versions. This is definitely a pale version. It's kind of just a medium light gold colored beer. A big fluffy frothy white head that just persists forever. And, nice and clear on the first pour, hazy on the third pour. Sorry.
Yeah, Brian. I got the middle one.
Marginally hazy, still really good.
But
within style guidelines, when you read the style guidelines, I joked about haze before, this can be a hazy beer.
Yeah, and sometimes I will, I'll pour a clear sample of a beer, and then as you keep pouring it, you can also just dump a little bit of the yeast into the beer, and it changes the full beer. So if you're drinking a sample out there, get through the full thing here, just tasting it with us, and then add a little bit of yeast and swirl it in there, then it kind of rounds out and smooths out the body, and it may give you some other flavors poking out, maybe a little more pepperiness and a little more yeastiness. It's a fun beer. It's wide open to interpretation, and the Saison yeast is notoriously hard to take care of. It wants to ferment and go warmer and warmer, and it'll keep going at even the 80s, Fahrenheit. It'll keep going.
And the one that I liked, I love brewing Saisons. I haven't for a while, unfortunately. And the one Y yeast, you talk about the high temperature. The rumor, I have no idea if it's true, is that Saison yeast is essentially red wine yeast. Which I think I call bullshit on that because wine yeast ferments a different sugar than beer yeast does. I don't know. It doesn't sound right to me. But there's one Y yeast, I think it's 3738, their Saison, that you've got to drive up to like 85 or 90 to keep it going. And if you don't keep it at a high temperature, it's going to just crap out on you, and you're going to have not good attenuation.
Right.
If you keep it up, I mean, I've sat there in my fermentation fridge and cranked that thing up to like 90 and held it there for 2-3 days to be sure I've gotten full attenuation. And that is unusual among homebrew yeasts that it wants to be that hot to actually ferment out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then, yeah, getting into the flavor of the beer. Well, first, it's a pretty dry beer, and you can use sugars to dry out the body. But there is an impression of sweetness, even though it's a very low gravity. It has, from the fruitiness and the esters that are everything that's going on, all this oranginess, lemoniness comes through and kind of tricks your senses into thinking it's a little sweeter than maybe it is, and well-rounded. But it's pretty dry and very well attenuated. So that's kind of into the mouthfeel too. But, again, in the flavor, just getting a lot of the same kind of flavors that you get in the aroma, high fruitiness and a nice pepperiness, and the malt, depending on if it's a lighter, this one's a lighter saison, so it's grainy, bready, biscuity, kind of light, fluffy malt flavors, and bitterness can actually be fairly high in these. I would say it's kind of medium here. It's not poking out too strongly bitterness wise. And again, some of them can substitute sourness for bitterness, so it'll have the sourness is giving it the kind of bite. This one is not in that realm, so we won't talk about that too much. But sometimes you get one like, oh, that's a little twist, and it's like, okay, they're using sourness to give that little bite. But
I want to come back a little bit what we talked about carbonic bite before.
Yeah,
and there is a little carbonic bite in this that I get.
Okay, yeah.
But one of the great things about it is there's so much happening in this beer. It's not defined by the carbonic bite. And that's one part of the whole flavor palette, and it really adds something. And it's maybe like 10%, 20%. It's a little bit of the flavor, but it's part of what you're perceiving. And that that carbonic bite kind of gives you that, it kind of perks everything up, and it kind of maybe amplifies some of the other flavors. Yeah, I'm maybe not saying that quite like I mean, but you know what I'm trying to say, Brian, where it's there. Maybe it kind of lifts it off your tongue.
Yeah.
Or puts it on your tongue more. I mean, you taste things, and then it keeps it from settling on your tongue. It's maybe also
it's
part of the fact.
Moving, kind of.
Exactly. And you look at the style guidelines. I mean, the final gravity on this can be 0.02. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a beer that should be really well attenuated. That maybe some beers are super dry, but the flavor kind of falls off your tongue. And perhaps it's that carbonation and the carbonic bite that helps keep things on your tongue so you don't just like have a sip and it goes away like it's never been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, despite all that, the carbonation and the bitingness of the spicy flavors, the malt itself is really soft and smooth. And that's part of what makes it fun and easy to drink. There's a fair amount of alcohol here. It's really spicy. That malt just smooths out on the bottom end, and it just kind of grainy Belgian, Belgian pills malt kind of here, just in this one. But you can add other, when you go dark saison, you can add some other elements to make it, just come across a little more richly malty, but it's still going to be dry and have that spiciness. So, I think, but to me, this is the classic. It's, it's spicy. There's a good amount of alcohol here. Goes down smooth and dries out on the tongue, and then you want another sip. So the bitterness is just high enough to balance everything else that's going on, the alcohol and the malt. Super dry finish. If it finishes sweet, they didn't do it right.
True.
Yeah, sweet finish saison is going to score like a 23.
Yeah. So hop flavors, you can get some earthy or spicy. I think there's a little spicy hop in this one.
Earthy, woody. I get earthy, woody. I was going to say bark, but it's not bark. It's like maybe dried, like tree branch woody. It's not, there is a woodiness with that earthiness
the meat
too.
Of the wood, yeah.
When's the last time you chewed on a tree branch?
Well, just saying.
This morning?
Mm-hmm.
yeah, he's, you know, cutting down on those cigars. You got to put something
that's true
in your mouth, right? Tree branch.
All right.
So these beers can also be spiced. This one doesn't have any additional spice that I know of.
No.
It's all from the yeast character. But, yeah. You know, you can actually accent your Saison with a little spice as long as it's not sticking out too far where it's like, oh, there's, you know, crazy.
That's the coriander orange peel thing that normally, because when I was coming up in homebrewing, that was just, that's what you put in your beer.
I like to coriander put some orange zest in my, like in a wit beers. I just grab like some like a navel orange from the store, and I'll zest that.
Zest it.
And put that in. I like how that makes my Saison, but I would put too much in. Mm-hmm. Too much for it to be a Saison, too little for it to be a fruit beer.
Okay.
So it never did well in competition, but I liked how it tasted.
So, yeah, and the finish, it just comes out bitter and spicy. The alcohol lingers a little bit, floats away. But, mouthfeel-wise, it feels light-ish. Yeah. It's kind of medium light. This one has a little bit of warming to it. It's, you know, but it's not hot at all. It's just really smooth warmth in the back of your mouth and the back of your throat a little bit. And
as it warms up, you get more of the spices. It does taste like there's a little coriander, maybe a little lavender note kind of going on too. It's very very complex for such a basic beer.
The lavender's a good one. Yeah. It's you know, in
right?
The
mouth, that wasn't
again,
bad.
Prickly and the carbonation just sticks around forever.
If they added the spices, it's right at that level of did they or didn't they.
Right.
And if you add some as a home brewer and you want to enter it as a Saison, it should be at that level of, is there something added in there?
Yeah.
If the question is yes, you're entering it in the wrong category. If you're having no wonder, you're probably in the right category.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. Assuming that yeast can throw those those spice
exactly.
Characters, right?
Like a cream ale. It's a little lavender and coriander.
I don't know. All right, what else, Brian?
I mean, it's all about the attenuation, the spritz, and the fruitiness and the pepperiness, the spiciness. It's the beer has so many different things going on, but they all come out in balance, and that's the end story. It's the overall impression. It just should have a nice balance between the alcohol that's there, the spiciness, the maltiness, and the spritz. So
the spritz, what would you give this?
The spritz.
Rate this. It's time to rate the beer according to the style guidelines because it is the commercial calibration. So
I would say
calibrate
this is probably not the freshest bottle of Saison DuPont that I've ever had. Sometimes if you get a little bit fresher, the lemoniness kind of comes out a little better.
You can tell it was stored on inside because there's like schmutz on the on the bottleneck is kind of there. So I don't know why it was
there. Yeah.
I don't know why it was stored on inside, but.
But the sample I'm tasting here is at least high 30s. It's, you know, it's not abused. They seem to be taking pretty good care of it here and rotating things out.
But. If you know anything about the date codes, it's L18480A.
Let me see that.
Brewed on May 4th, 1994.
Pour a little yeast in mine here and just get it clouded up like just to taste the
difference. I'd give this a solid like 42, 43. And like you were saying, if this was something, this is the platonic ideal of Saison. And if you were at the brewery and drilled a hole in a barrel and, like, you know, put your tongue up there and, like, licked it right out of that hole.
You could taste 50-point beer.
It'd probably be a 50-pointer. and I don't know if it's fermented in barrels or not. I'm probably no barrels involved. But if you got it right at the brewery at the peak of freshness, this is probably going to be a 50.
Probably.
But, right, yeah, for something that came all the way to California that we're drinking on a
Wednesday
night.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, bitter raisiny thing, but, you know, very good stuff. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on Dr. Homebrew. Don't leave.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing. and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
Awesome. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Brian, you're going to look up more factoids. Did we find anything on Saison DuPont?
Does anybody know what veal provision means?
It means feeding the baby cows.
Many provisions.
Veal provisions. It's food for cows.
Well,
right? I'm pretty smart. I'm just going to go with that's what that means.
The bottle tells us it's a product of Belgium. Duh, we knew that. Okay.
So no.
Unfiltered Belgian farmhouse ale.
You didn't have any more factoids.
It's bottle conditioned.
Brian's reading the label now.
The bottle's green.
It's very exciting.
It's a green bottle.
It's a very exciting show for everybody.
There's a cork in it.
Well, look, if we don't have anything else interesting to say about the Saison, let's put it to bed. I feel like this bottle was a decent a decent example of it. You East Coasters probably get a better read on the Saison DuPonts than us West Coasters. But like we were saying before, it's pretty easy to find. Just do a little hunting. You won't regret it unless you get a terrible bottle. Because if these beers go, they kind of go.
And it's great with all grilled foods.
It's great with all grilled foods, everybody.
But if you drink it, it may impair your ability to drive a car or operate machinery.
Hey, quick thing before we go, listeners. My homebrew club, Words of Wisdom, our bottle competition for our club homebrew comp deadline closes August 3rd. If you'd like to enter, please visit wordsofwisdom.org. That is Words, W-O-R-T-S, of wisdom.org.
It closes August 3rd?
August 3rd.
This will be posted way after that.
Damn it. So you one or two live listeners, if you want to enter, go ahead and go for it.
All right. There you go. Good stuff, Brian Schar. Thank you,
Jason Petros.
Always plugging the homebrew clubs.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in to this weird little show that we do. If you want to get your beer submitted into Dr. Homebrew, email Brian. That's B-R-I-A-N. Sort of like brain, but
spelled
not.
Spelled the right way.
Yeah.
Never trust a Y, Brian.
At thebrewingnetwork.com, and he'll get you sorted out. Mm-hmm. And we'll get you on the show. It'll be a good time.
Will do.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.